So Genesis 28, and you might also want to find John chapter 1 and verses 43 to 51. And so just a quick summary of our series so far. We started part 1 by saying that our values come before our vision. So worship, fellowship, mission, and discipleship, they come before our vision because they are our identity as a church. That is who we say that we are. When we do those things, that is us becoming who we are and doing what we are. And so our values must come before our vision. That is our identity that informs what we are to do as part of our vision. Part two, we were saying there quite simply that our vision should be God-given. We should have a vision that is communicated to us from God, not from us to God and asking him to bless that vision. We want direct communication from God about what we are to do as a church. And there we talked about what is the overall purpose of the church, capital C. And we looked at some biblical examples. And then we spoke about, and this is where we get into today as well, we were talking about what is the specific purpose of Central Baptist Church in the mission of God. And so we began to look at specifics. We looked at how we can build strong relational bridges between people of all ages. And so we did an activity where we built bridges and we thought about bridges and what they do and so on and so forth. And we had some suggestions and ideas about how we can interact with one another as people of all ages. And then we came back in part four, which was the last Sunday I was here, so three Sundays ago, to come back to think about what has God been saying to us, the specifics of what he has for us in his mission as part of Central Baptist Church. And so we looked at this theme, beacon of light. So we understand that there's a few people, and this phrase keeps coming up to us, few people that are saying this phrase to us, that as a church, we should be a beacon of light. So we've got this image here of a city, and we've got this beacon of light that stands out. That, I'm guessing, and there's a lot more to it than that, but I'm guessing that is what God is saying to us in this city. And of course, wherever we go as his people, we need to stand out in the darkness as the light of the world. And there's various different suggestions that we had when we were asking, what do you think of when you hear the phrase beacon of light? What is the purpose of a beacon of light? And so we thrashed that out and began to discuss that last time I was here. And we had various different responses to that. And so this week, we're going to stretch ourselves a little bit in that we're going to begin to talk more of that language about visions and pictures and the revelation of God to us in the present day. And so if we go to Genesis 28, the first of our readings this morning, as it says there, we're going to read from verse 10 to 22. I'm sure it will be a familiar Bible passage to you, and it says this: Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. I don't know about you, but I've been really struggling to sleep in this weather. I don't know how you can think for one moment to lay your head on a rock and get a comfortable night's sleep. But anyway, verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. and I was not aware of it. I wonder how many of us have had that experience in our lives. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." And so notice in there the phrase, angels ascending and descending. And now we turn to John chapter 1, and verse 43 to 51. And so Jesus has come to earth, his ministry has begun, and he's now recruiting a team of key disciples that are going to travel with him and do the ministry that Jesus has set before them. He's going to model it to them, he's going to call them to do it, and eventually they're going to be the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 43, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth, can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open.'" Does that sound familiar? "You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I wonder if that resonates with Genesis 28 at all as we read that. So why don't we just pray together before I share why we're talking about these particular passages this morning. So Father God, I pray now that each and every person in this place would have eyes wide open, ears wide open, and hearts wide open to be receiving your word this morning. Lord, I pray that as your word goes out to these people, that it would transform, that it would capture revelation from God, and that, Lord God, each of us would witness your revelation come into fruition as time goes on. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would bless us at this time as we hear today, that you would bless those who can't be with us today, and that you would bring us great peace and excitement, Lord God, and joy in the Spirit as we hear what you have revealed and what you are saying to us as a church. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We pray against any barriers, any obstacles to your presence. We pray smash through, smash it down. Invade us, Lord God, as we hear this revelation, as we hear your word. And invade us further as we go into a time of sung worship and praise. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are Lord of this place. You are the King of heaven. And so, Lord, we pray, hold back the enemy this morning as we declare your word in this place. May it be fresh to us. May it spiritually reinvigorate us. For we ask of it in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so those passages there, the reason to come to them this morning in this particular series will soon become clear. And so I want to share with you a couple of visions, pictures, words, whatever we want to call them, that have come from people that are trusted people who we know as a church, or who we, or at least I know through the life of this church. And who have been given something by God to speak into the life of this church family. And so that's exciting when God does something like that, isn't it? That we still have a God who speaks to us today, if we are open and listening to his voice, that we might give further revelation to the body of Christ. And so the first one was a vision that was had by somebody in 2016. And so you'll understand from that that I wasn't even at the church. I wasn't even the minister here in 2016. I didn't arrive until September 2017. And so this person, they were actually on a centre project away day. So not even related to the life of the church in one sense, but it was a centre project away day. So the staff and the volunteers, I don't know if it was board members as well back in 2016, but they went away on an away day to just talk and pray about the centre project and what God may want to do through the centre. And so as this person was praying and going through that process, it wasn't even the centre project that God chose to speak to her about in that moment. It was more to do with the life of Central Baptist Church. And so I've had knowledge of these two particular words and visions for almost 2 years now. But obviously it's my job really to just pray into those before sharing and try and figure out what God may be trying to say. And so the vision that was had on that day was, just to summarise, it was of a full multicultural church, and she could see the main sanctuary and specifically the ceiling of this room. So it was a full multicultural church. It was ringing, good word, isn't it? Ringing with the sound of praise and worship. And the whole of the ceiling was covered by hosts of angels with their wings outstretched and overlapping to form a huge protective canopy over the church. And again, it was full of people, to the point where people were having to stand in the aisles because we didn't have enough seats. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will this morning. And so we have this reflection of heaven connecting with earth. Just hold that thought. And then at my induction in September 2017, a chap came from Oakham. He's very prophetic. I had the privilege of spending some time with him when I was doing some training at Oakham Baptist Church. And he's known that for God will speak to him that he might share revelation to others. He's known for this for years now. And the way that you test a prophet is as to whether something comes about or not, isn't it? That's how you test a prophet. And this continually happens with him. And he was here at my induction in September 2017. And after the service, he came to me with a tiny piece of paper. And he'd written down some things that God had revealed to him in the induction service. And he'd never been to Central Baptist Church before. But part of the vision that he had was of this place. But he'd never been here. And that's a good sign of God's revelation to him. And on that piece of paper, he wrote down Genesis chapter 28. And particularly verses 10 to 12. And on it, he said, in this church, you are standing on holy ground. In this church, you are standing on holy ground. And if we think about holy ground, it is a place that God has set apart for a particular purpose. He set it apart for him to do something special and unique in the kingdom of God. He also said on this piece of paper, angels are ascending and descending on this place. So he'd seen the church building, he'd seen this room, and he said, angels are ascending and descending on this place. And then think back to the first one that I said, that there was a host of angels with their wings outstretched and overlapping across the whole canopy of the church. Maybe there's an element of protection there. We're not going to get into the theology of angels, but the Bible tells us that they are ministering spiritual, they are ministering spirits that are sent to earth to do the work of God. And we can look through particularly the nativity story, and we see angels all throughout that, don't we? He went on to say, the word will go out from this place. And so what we have there, as I've wrestled with that for almost 2 years, and I've come back to it this week, and I've been overwhelmed with the revelation that God has given me into those words and linking it in with the two passages from this morning. I've been overwhelmed this week to the point where I can't share everything today because we just don't have enough time. But I want to share the key elements today of what I think that God is saying to us through these visions and pictures. And so here's the key elements of what we've heard. Emphasis on a full space. So there's something that says that God has chosen this space in particular as a space that he has set apart as holy, and he's going to do something special in this space. Emphasis on a diverse church, or a full diverse church. Emphasis on a praise-giving, worshipping church. Christ-directed worship. Protection from angels and the word of God going out from this place. So we don't keep the word for ourselves, but it goes out